Into the Fold is part of the Texas Podcast Network, the conversations changing the world. Brought to you by the University of Texas at Austin. The opinions expressed in this podcast represent the views of the hosts and guests and not of the University of Texas at Austin.
One of the things that is both challenging and wonderful is that Stephanie is woven into everything we do at the foundation. So it does make it challenging at a time like this, but it's also something that will continue to be her legacy in perpetuity, because she, her voice, the things that were valuable to her, all of that is truly embedded in everything. And we can see it. It's palpable.
Hi, welcome to Into the Fold, a podcast on mental health issues. I'm your host, Ike Evans. And today we're delighted to bring you episode 111, Celebrating Stephanie Bryan.
When we talk about well-being, for me, it's the person's ability to thrive.
Having their basic needs met, as well as having community and connection.
I think looking at an individual or a community in its entirety.
These are the moments where it's not only about celebrating, but it's about connecting with people and connecting with the community around you.
Well-being is when you are feeling kind of your best, and best, I think, is a moving target.
And supporting one another, continually talking to one another, sharing our resources, a community, that golden thread.
February was a lot to deal with. Right as we were at the beginning of what would turn out to be an unprecedented weather disaster here in Texas with the winter storms, the Hawk Foundation experienced a loss that will have vastly more far-reaching consequences and that we are still feeling. Stephanie J. Bryan, our program officer and consumer and family liaison since 2008, passed away from COVID-related complications on February 14th. This was just 2 months ago, and we are still very much in processing mode. For this episode, we're going to do our best to capture what made her so special, her impact on the Hogg Foundation, and her impact on mental health and well-being in Texas. We'll be discussing her legacy with three women who knew her well, but we will also be hearing from the woman herself in her own words. Stephanie June Martin Bryan was born on October 31st, 1956. She grew up in San Antonio, Texas, graduating from Oliver Wendell Holmes High School in 1974. She was the first female drum majorette in San Antonio, a talent that earned her a music scholarship to Southwest Texas State University. Stephanie spent her early adult years living in Seguin, Texas, where she worked in the banking and metal stamping industries. She moved to Austin in 1994 and began to find her voice as an advocate when trying to access services for her children from both the mental health and child welfare systems. These experiences led Stephanie to begin a new life of challenging the status quo, a journey that would eventually lead her to the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health. Stephanie was feisty, outspoken, and tirelessly shared her journey with all who might benefit and gain strength from her battles. And her work was impactful. She led the charge in Texas for child-serving agencies to seek and embrace parent voice. The mantra of the consumer movement, "Nothing about us without us," was her personal rallying cry. Steph was so generous with her time that she was fond of saying, "I volunteered myself into poverty." That is, until organizations began to see the value in paying for her kind of expertise. An example is the Children's Partnership, where Stephanie was hired as one of the first parent liaisons in the state of Texas. She would go on to be known across the country for her work to make sure that parents and families had a seat at the table with agencies that provide social services to children and families. With her quick, biting wit and humor, Stephanie had a knack for holding people with lofty credentials accountable for ensuring that consumers and families were included, heard, and valued as true partners. And that, my friends, is just the beginning. For this episode, we're giving a true Texas original her due. And to help us with that, we've brought on three women who all worked closely alongside Stephanie Bryan and have thoughts and memories to share. These three women are in a great position to help us understand Stephanie's impact on mental health and what she brought to the table as a person. Vicki Coffey is Director of Programs for the Hogg Foundation for Mental Health. Tammy Hines is Senior Program Officer and Consumer and Family Liaison for the Hogg Foundation. And Luann Southern is Executive Director of the Texas Child Mental Health Care Consortium at the University of Texas System. Welcome to all of you.
Well, hello. Thank you.
And y'all are joining us via Zoom from your various locations, just so our listeners understand. So this first question is for the group. It has been, at the time of this recording, about 6 weeks since we lost Steph. How are you all doing? I think that's a good question for all of us generally. But where are you at emotionally, having had these several weeks to absorb it?
I'll go first. This is Vicki. And, you know, it's just been a really emotional roller coaster. I have probably intellectualized losing Steph to help me get through it all and really focused on the work and what has to go forward without her. So I'm still trying to navigate this space without her. And it's a little different because we're working remotely. And so we weren't seeing each other in person anyway. So in my mind, I'm just kind of probably, I wouldn't say it's the most healthy thing to do, but I still see her working remotely. And that's been kind of helping me get through it, but it's been tough and it has been an emotional roller coaster for sure.
This is Luann, and like Vicki, I think because it is so fresh and new, it's really difficult for me to wrap my arms around the idea that she is no longer present with us. I had the opportunity to see her in December before she left Texas to go out of town and be with a friend, and I have since been so thankful that she stopped by and she sat in my driveway in her car, and I walked outside, and because of COVID, obviously we couldn't hug each other when we said goodbye, but I had no sense that it would be the last time that I would actually see her. So I'm so happy that I had the opportunity to do that before she left. And for me, because of the world we live in right now and the inability for us to gather with one another to celebrate her life, I'm honored to be a part of this conversation so that we can have a brief moment to celebrate her life as a person, as a friend, and as a colleague, and her impact on the mental health world. So thank you.
Okay. Well, I will jump in after you two ladies, and I will say that I'm right in line with much of what you said. It's a daily struggle. And one of the things that is both challenging and wonderful is that Stephanie is woven into everything we do at the foundation. So it does make it challenging at a time like this, but it's also something that will continue to be her legacy in perpetuity, because her voice, the things that were valuable to her, all of that is truly embedded in everything. And we can see it, it's palpable. So I think about her constantly. I'm always wishing that we had more time, not just us as individuals, but truly the people that she helped serve. And there's still so much work left to do. And I know she would not have been ready to go when there's so much work left to do. And I, you know, I catch myself thinking, you know, the whole, this isn't fair and we need her back. And of course, quickly realizing we're not going to have that option. So we have to appreciate what we did get. And just as Stephanie always reminded us to think about what Miss Ima valued, I think we're going to need to do the same thing with Stephanie and bring her into that and think about not only what Miss Ima valued, but what Stephanie valued, because she really helped. She helped keep our compass going the direction that we all wanted it to.
When we talk about the term consumer, Gail Bluebird, I believe, said it best. And she did say that history connects us with our past and with those who have gone before us and those who have earned remembrance. We may not be aware of our rich history, and we belong to that history because it was people before us who started this. And I think it's really important. Many individuals, I think Tammy said earlier, they really don't like the word or the term consumer, but it is part of our history. And it is, as I said earlier, the golden thread that binds us together.
So collectively, we all have our own cherished Stephanie memories. So I was thinking that we could just... go around the panel and each of you could share like an anecdote that just gives our listeners a sense of really just what a trip it could be, being in Stephanie's presence, having her as a coworker, so forth. And let's just stick with the same order. So Vicky, you can go first.
Okay, so gosh, I don't know where to start and where to stop. And I also would have to add that Stephanie danced very softly right around the edge of being, let's just say she would make for some interesting stories. Stephanie, oh my gosh, a story, a Steph story. She loved to laugh. And if you knew anything at all about Steph, she was all about the jokes and all about humor. And always just making sure that we remembered that life is not as serious as we think it is. And so one of the things she loved to say was, if this is the worst thing that happens to me today, I think I'll be okay. Or it beats a sharp stick in the eye. And so just her attitude to bounce back. One time we had an event she recommended. It was a grantee meeting where we were going to be meeting people that we hadn't met for the first time who were going to be so impressed by us as Hogg Foundation staff and were so smart and brilliant. And she had this great idea of bringing in that we all should have pig noses, hog noses for the event. And so Dr. Martinez, being the trooper he is, agreed. He's still employed. And we ordered pig noses, hog noses. So everyone at the meeting had a hog nose on. And I tell you, not everybody thought it was a great idea. And we really got some pushback on it, but we had so much fun. And even the people that were naysayers ended up enjoying that. And it just really broke the ice and helped us learn to be real with our grantees and let them know that we weren't perfect. While we were also throwing hog stamped dollar bills, we were throwing them in the air and making it rain. Like, I'm a hog, dollar bills in the air. And so that, if that just gives you any example of how much fun and how Stephanie enjoyed life and making sure everyone else did that was around her. That's just two stories that just come to mind real quick.
This is Luann, and working with Stephanie there, as Vicky said, there was never a dull moment. She was straight up honest with anyone. It did not matter to her where you came from, what your title was, what your position was in your organization. She was going to be real and be authentic and tell her jokes. And occasionally they did cross sometimes very near to being inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember going to national meetings and presenting with her as a co-presenter. We did that quite frequently at the national level and at the state level and at the local level. And she would sometimes tell a joke And, you know, it would really just break the ice, to be real honest with you. I don't think she got real nervous ever about speaking in public. She did it so well. She was very real and very authentic. But what she would do to me, if I had a speech to give in public, Stephanie would sit in the audience and she would make hash marks tally up how many times during my speech I said, So I can remember a time Vicky and Stephanie and I went to Nacogdoches. We went to East Texas and I had to give a speech. And after my speech was over, I said, so how did I do? Did I do all right? Did I make all the points that needed to be made? And her first comment to me was, Lou, she called me Lou. She said, Lou, this is how many times you said, during your speech. And there were quite a few tally marks. So it didn't really matter whether I did a good job or not. She was really focused on how many times I did, because that really irritated her. I think it was just one of those things where she's like, come on, you know, you gotta be a little smoother than that. So that's a Steph story for you.
So a couple came to mind. And of course, as Vicky and Lou said, there are some that are just not able to be retold. So I'll keep those and chuckle to myself. But I'm saying my ums just for you, Steph. One of the things that did come to mind, though, is we worked so closely together on so many different projects, creating projects, and we would work on budgets. And the way that works is we'd have to create a budget to figure out how much money we needed to do a project so that we could turn around and ask people that were applying to submit a budget how they wanted to spend the money so that we had some semblance of what made sense within that. And so she and I would spend quite a bit of time thinking through that. And I mean hours upon hours. And we would be at work until 9 or 10 o'clock at night and think we had exhausted everything that could possibly be a cost that would be associated with this project. And I'd go home thinking, whew, we knocked that out. We got it done. Everything's ready to go. And Stephanie, being as detail oriented as she was, would come in the next morning and say, so did it ever occur to us that there might be people coming from El Paso? Did we ever think about what it might cost for people to come from El Paso? We didn't even put that in there. What if there are people that are going to apply from El Paso and they have to fly to Austin? We have to account for that. Then she would say, we allowed 8 people from each grant site to attend such and such meeting, but we only allowed for one car. Do we think 8 people are going to sit in a car? And I knew that she was sitting at home thinking through each of these scenarios and figuring out these last little pieces to make sure that we had accounted for everything. And those are just a couple of little examples that I know were real, but she was just... Her attention to detail, we all began to count on. We all realized that we could turn to her. We'd have her edit something or look at something because we knew she had an eye that no one else had. And that was so appreciated and obviously will be hugely missed.
Detail down to the art of understanding how many we're a part of a speech.
Yes, exactly.
You just said one time for the record.
Yeah, and I'll even be real. I mean, it can even be a little nerve-wracking how she'd point things out that you just couldn't ignore after that, you know?
Like, yes.
I don't want this to be a thing. I don't want her to be right about this, but she probably is.
Yes.
So
yes.
We need to deal with it now.
Oh, yes.
Like, it, as you stated earlier, it has. It's been over 10 years. And I recall that when first hired, I was given the title of Consumer and Family Liaison. That was my title, but I really felt that my role as an individual with lived experience of recovery and the responsibilities that were set forth in my job description, and given the opportunity to be a steward of this foundation, would go far beyond the parameters of that title of consumer and family liaison. And it really has. It's been a heck of a ride. When I first began at the foundation, it was challenging. It was challenging to have discussions around sensitive topics. It was tough having discussions about a lot of things. Having a self-identified consumer on staff was definitely a new way of doing business for the foundation. In discussions related to our work, I noticed that some of my colleagues showed discomfort when I brought up concepts and topics such as stigma and discrimination, diversity and equity and inclusion, or systematic oppression. And all of this came from my lens as a consumer. It wasn't my view as a philanthropist, as a clinician, as anybody that had ever worked in a foundation and had that historical, I'll call it baggage. How about that? That, you know, I don't think that those conversations were prominent at the time that I was hired.
So Tammy, this next question is for you. You worked alongside Stephanie. You and Stephanie worked together as our first two consumer and family liaisons. And so I was just wondering, what impact she had on your own identity as a consumer and your approach to your work that you'd be willing to share?
I really love that question. You know, I do feel very blessed to be one of the two people. Stephanie and I both always felt very blessed to be the two people chosen to be the consumer and family liaisons. We recognized early on what a gift it was to be part of the foundation, what a gift it was to have people value our lived experience in a way that you don't get everywhere. And at the same time, there was a level of fear from both of us about how much do you share. And those early days, and I've given a lot of thought to this since she left us, and I really feel like it was primarily the first couple of years. Those early years were challenging for both of us. It was hard to get used to what we called the hog experience. And it was very different from any type of work environment we had been in before. And so it was hard to figure out kind of where your role was and what your niche was. And then for there to be two of us, we certainly didn't want to be redundant of each other. We wanted to find our own areas of expertise and that kind of thing. And so we did a lot of talking early on, a lot of talking behind closed doors, trying to kind of process our way into understanding what our jobs really were. And I think, you know, one of the things early on that we recognized, we actually were hired as consumer and family liaisons and not as program officers. And I think that's a really key point, because we both were hired to bring our lived experience into the role, but we also very quickly were given assignments just like a program officer would be, and realized we were doing the work of a program officer, but we didn't have that title. And so in the first 6 months, we sat down with Dr. Martinez and made the suggestion that we actually have two titles, because at no point did we think we should lose the consumer and family liaison, because that was very important. But we also felt like we needed to show the equality, that we were just like the other program officers in doing that role. And so that was one of probably the big, it was empowering that was encouraged and allowed to happen. And it was something that was exciting for us to actually see movement, that we brought something up, it was recognized, and things were changed. Stephanie and I both would provide quite a bit of support to each other. After many, many, many staff meetings, we would find each other and end up in one or the other's office and rehash the meeting and basically figure out, are there things we could have said differently so we would be heard differently? Are there things that we heard that were hard for us to hear? And how are we going to process that? And we spent a lot of time doing that. And I think after that first couple of years, we kind of got to a place of comfort where we knew that it was all going to be okay. We weren't going to get fired for something that we said in a meeting, or for something, some reaction that we had in a meeting, which more often than not was tears. We were both very sensitive in the sense of heightened emotions around things that were important to us. And so you might find us tearful at different times. And then we would go back to each other's office and process that. And I think one of the first things I got from her in that friendship and that interaction was that that's okay, that it's completely okay to have that experience and that it be different from other people in the foundation. And that was a very comforting thing. The other thing that I think of is Stephanie always bounced back really quickly. So she could have a reaction in a meeting and the whole foundation would know about it. But within a day, she was done with it. She had moved on. And I will say that that is one of the most profound things that I got from her, is not to hold on to things. What she used to say to me was, it's not about you, girl. It's not about you. It's about them. Don't let it in. And I remember the first few times I heard her say it, it made no sense to me. Well, of course it's about me. They're saying it about me. And the longer I heard it, the more I realized she was absolutely right, that I needed to step back and allow other people to have their own experiences and allow myself to have my own experiences. And, you know, my takeaway from that was, I am now intentional. I ask questions. I get teased because I say, I have a question just for clarity. I ask questions, I check reality, and then I try to move on. And I think that was a gift from her. I think, and it's made a very significant difference, not just in my work life, but in my life in general.
Yeah, and I can personally attest to how much we have all benefited from your willingness to ask questions, and really how much any group dynamic benefits from the questions that someone like you can pose. And so, just co-signing that. Okay, so Vicky, you were in a position to supervise Stephanie's work. And so let's just imagine a parallel universe where... you know, the Hogg Foundation, everything else is the same, but never hired Stephanie Bryan. Whatever other strengths as an organization we might have, what would we be missing, and how would our work be different if that were the case?
I guess we'll soon learn. And I don't say that lightly, but I also say that it won't be the same. We won't be missing that, because we wouldn't be where we are today as a foundation without a Stephanie, that's for sure. I can say we would be missing the whole Stephanie experience. And that could probably best be described as just an authentic, passionate approach to what we call the work, but what Stephanie would call her purpose. Stephanie was an advocate, and she wasn't just an advocate for mental health. If there was a fight to go to, Stephanie would be right there with you, because she was most bothered by situations where people were treated unjustly and unfairly and inequitably. And to me, we would be missing that fight. She had a passion for people who felt like, who others would forget about, or may have felt like they were the underdog, or for people who felt like their voice didn't matter. Stephanie brought to that, to the foundation, just this little reminder that we cannot do the work of supporting people with lived experience and mental health without hearing from them and having their voice and their input. And then lastly, I would say that we'd be missing the levity that has become one of the longstanding values within the foundation. I mean, Stephanie's humor, especially when it came to a serious matter, and her ability to just bring humor to a situation to remind us that we are real, to remind us that what we're working on matters, and that we can make change happen. Just the understanding that we were in a position to really change lives, we would be missing that without there ever having been a period, or ever with Stephanie not being around, if we had not hired her. Those are the main things that I think. Her laughter was huge. I mean, she could work a room, and by the time you left, I would bet there's not a person in that room that she hadn't touched, met, or made laugh. And so to me, that's just what I think we would be missing.
I think it is really important for people to understand that Steph's impact went well beyond the Hogg Foundation. So Luann, you are the one non-Hogg person who's a part of the panel. And so just please give us a sense of how it is that Stephanie impacted your work, your life, and the particular issues, systemic issues that you focus on.
I would say that there are probably a lot of people that are listening to this podcast whose frame of reference for knowing Stephanie has been maybe over the last few years. There are also those of us who have known her for over 20 years and close to 30. And I was lucky enough to hire her as one of the very first parent partner people in the state of Texas. We had a grant from the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration in the late 90s. Those grants were called the Comprehensive Community-Based Services for Children and Families, and it's also known as Systems of Care. We were required to hire someone to serve as a partner with us in our work at that time. And Stephanie made her mark almost immediately after getting that job. I mean, nationally, people wanted her to come and speak to them. In other states, SAMHSA, people from all over wanted Steph. And a lot of that has to do with who she was as a person that we spoke of earlier. She's so real. She's so authentic. She will tell you exactly how things worked or not. And she's not, was not shy about doing that. And so she was just so special in that way. I can remember going as a co-presenter with her when she wasn't monitoring how many us, I said, but we were co-presenting at different places. And I can very distinctly remember a time when we were presenting with each other, and our whole presentation centered around how do we form effective, meaningful partnerships between parents who are accessing services from these very large public systems and those of us who work within those systems. And she also worked within the system, because we were able to hire her into a position, which, as Tammy had mentioned with Hogg Foundation, was one of the first times we had done that here in Travis County at the local level. And people would say to her, and they would say to me when we were presenting, they would hold up their hands and they would say, well, gosh, you know, you're not like the families that are in our system. You're not like the families that we work with. And Stephanie would always say, oh, yes, I am. And she would tell her story and how her journey with her family, personally, the different systems that they were involved with. And people would just be in awe that here is this woman who had gone through so much in her life and was using her experience to really benefit other people in those systems and to help other families see that even though you may have gone through a lot of trauma in your life, you can come out the other side and use your experience to help others. And I will tell you that she has made a lasting impact on the children's mental health system, on the child welfare system, on all of the public systems that serve children and families. And I mean, not just in Texas, but also across the country. People know her. When she passed away, I was getting text messages from all over the country. People who were so sad to hear that she had passed on. And people who had said they feel that their responsibility, because they carry the stories that she told and the lessons that they learned from her in their hearts, and that it's our responsibility to keep her legacy alive by honoring her in that way and keeping the work going. I will tell you that, you know, Tammy had talked about how she would say, don't take things personally. It reminded me of when we all worked together, and Vicky, by the way, worked with us here at the local community level. There was a book that came out that was called The Four Agreements. And we used those four agreements frequently in our work. And one of those four agreements is not to take things personally. The other one is not to make assumptions. The third one is to be impeccable with your word. And the fourth one is to always do your best. And we would remind each other at work of those four agreements. And when things got really tough, we would say, hey, you know what? This isn't personal, just like Tammy was saying. And we would have to remind each other, because the work we were doing, we were treading new ground that ground had not been laid yet. The foundation had not been laid. And it's always hard when you do things new, because sometimes you're misunderstood and sometimes it's difficult for people to come on board. But she was a trailblazer and she would not let us sit on our laurels. She always said, if you know that something isn't right and you don't do anything about it, you are giving silent consent for it to continue. That's something that Stephanie would always say to me when we were working in the field, trying to engage families as true partners in our work. And I will be forever indebted to her for that and for the mark that she has made.
Okay, this next question is for Tammy. I think that it's safe to say that a consumer and family liaison's work is never done. What new ideas or frontiers, and in particular for mental health consumers, did Stephanie champion, and I guess this falls under the heading of unfinished business, that you would still like to carry forward now that she's no longer with us?
So there are several things. A couple are just extremely important and valuable and need to be consistently brought into everything that we do. I think someone mentioned how important inclusion was to Stephanie. And I think we can never truly go deep enough for her. Like I just don't know that there was ever too far that you could go to include people. So that's one that will always be something that we work toward, work on, and certainly think about her, you know, as we're doing it. An area that Luann touched on, specifically one of Stephanie's passions was family support. And, you know, Stephanie had her own experiences as a family member and really wanted to see the voices of family members with children in the mental health system raised up. She wanted to see their voices valued more and brought into the conversation. And of course that goes back to inclusion, but I think specifically she felt like the family members were often just pushed aside and not given much credibility, much value. I think then kind of more broadly, Stephanie really wanted to see a more tolerable world where people in general were valued as they were, recognized as they were, and not made to feel like they needed to change in order to make the rest of us comfortable. That was a consistent theme of many conversations that we had. And, you know, how do we get there? How do we get to that place? And then I think, finally, one of the very strong analogies that Stephanie always made early on and consistently would make this to groups of people when we were doing presentations or in any opportunity, in any setting where there was an opportunity to talk about this, she would say, you know, we have systems set up for people who discover that they have breast cancer. And when they leave that first appointment where they find out that they've been diagnosed with breast cancer, they leave that appointment with the name and number of a support person. And they're not expected to call that person. That person's going to call them. And they set up a time that that person is going to call them. And they are never left alone. They are supported. They are, you know, they have an advocate if they need it. And her vision was always that the mental health system should be that way for mental health consumers. That the first time someone goes in and finds out they have a mental health diagnosis and how terrifying that can be, that they absolutely shouldn't leave that appointment without knowing that there's someone out there to support them. And we've gone, you know, we've gone a long way. We've got peer systems in place. And we certainly have many, many trained peers, but we're still not at that point where people have that support immediately or that that support is valued at the same level as other types of mental health supports. And I think those are things that we absolutely could carry on her in her behalf.
Okay, Vicky, a similar question. What unfinished business did you and Stephanie have that you would like for us not to let go of?
Unfinished business, wow. We had a lot of unfinished business, some of which I can share and some of which I can't. No, honestly, again, just bringing some humor to the situation. We hadn't finished the work. Honestly, even after working together for more than 25 years and being on the battlefield for children and with children, youth, and families, the challenges are still there. I mean, things have improved somewhat, but things sometimes feel like they are back to when we first started. It doesn't feel like there's been a whole lot of change. And so I think Tammy mentioned, Luann mentioned, supporting the inclusion of parents and family advocates and making sure that we support people and compensate them for their expertise and the lived experiences they bring to the table. I remember Stephanie, when she first started as a volunteer back over 25 years ago, she would say, guys, I need support. You guys get paid to attend the meetings. You guys get paid to participate. I am volunteering myself into poverty.
Yeah.
You have got to do a better job supporting people who you're asking. It's great you're asking for input, but when you come to a meeting, don't you get paid? Well, it's only right that we compensate people when we ask them to share their experiences with us to improve the system, that we support them in the same way that we're being supported. She would also say that if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And I know she didn't come up with that, but she loved it. She loved to say it. And so we just have to continue to grow and do a better job creating spaces for people who traditionally have been excluded from making choices, from having a voice at the table. And again, for being compensated for that, for those voices. And I think we also, the unfinished piece that we have is really developing a strong network for youth to have a voice in Texas and nationally, for them to be recognized for their journey. And the same thing for their parents, that we cannot continue. And again, we started this work over 25 years ago. We cannot continue to not create or feel responsible to create spaces within communities where kids can live in communities with their families and with their parents. I know one of the things that she was most proud about was being a part of a national grant through SAMHSA, where the dollars rested in the community, but we had to have voice and input from parents and youth about how to spend those dollars to keep their kids out of residential treatment. And that was so controversial when we started it way long time ago. It was so controversial. You mean you're going to let the families decide what to do with the money? Well, yeah, rather than spend at that time $300-something a day or more to place their child out of their home. And then she would complain and say, bringing them back to the fishbowl where the water hasn't been changed. Yeah. We have to support families as a family system. And we have to continue that fight to not think that we as experts with the degrees and the titles behind our names know what's best for children, youth, and families. That we lean on them and we encourage them and we support them and we listen to them and hear what they need that would best serve them in order to keep their children in their homes where they belong. No, there's no parents want to have their kids removed. They just see it as a last straw. There's not, what else do you do? I can't continue things the way they are. So what else is there? So I think we have to keep that fight. Our work is not done. We have to continue to keep fighting, creating those spaces, welcoming people. And I mean, we owe it to the children and the youth of Texas. And we also owe it to our friend and our colleague, Steph.
Okay, so Luann, you know, much of your work is in child welfare and child mental health. And so I was wondering how you're working and learning from and alongside Stephanie, you know, help to inform your sense of what these systems need.
Wow. Where do I begin? Stephanie made an impact, I will say, on me personally, on many, many individuals whose lives themselves, because of their personal experiences, have been impacted either in positive or negative ways by public systems. And we would always say, and I think we've heard it earlier, and that is that we have to listen, and listening is as much of an action as speaking. And that when we listen to the stories of individuals that we work with, no matter if we're in child welfare or if we're in mental health, juvenile justice, any of the big systems, to truly listen to those stories and understand the uniqueness that every person brings to the table. And don't just apply a cookie cutter approach, but really listen so that we can address the unique needs and strengths. That's the other thing. You know, as I spoke of earlier, where Stephanie and I would talk to groups and they would say, well, you're just not like the other families that we work with. And she would remind them that she was. But she would also say, you know, what's been different for me is that people recognize me not just for the problems I've had in my past and not just for the hardships that I've had, but for the strengths that I had to go through what I did to make it, and to now be standing before you presenting information about how you can help families who are just like me. And so I think that one of the things that she did that I've learned, and I think that we can learn from her, is to always remember that every single person is a human being first. They all have a story. They all have strength. Yes, they come to systems because of situations that they're in, but they also come with lots and lots of skills and experiences that can be used to help them get to a new space. And they just need to be given opportunities and need to be given the chance for them to show that they are survivors, that they are strong, that they have ideas that can benefit huge bureaucratic systems. If we listen and if we bring them in as partners, true, true partners, I think that is something that I believe that her legacy, both before she came to HOG and while at HOG, will live on if we all remember that and we take that to heart. I just think that's so important. And she was one person who I can say honestly changed attitudes, values, assumptions, and beliefs that many of us had in the past, and that many systems have had, that she truly, as one individual, made such a huge difference to that. And it's our responsibility to take that and move and not just sit back and know that something needs to change and not do anything about it, because she would certainly scold us.
Okay. Yeah, wow. So even with just the three of you, you know, there's just so much that is there to be mined from, you know, the different impacts that Stephanie had on the HOG Foundation and on the cause of mental health in Texas, let alone if we were to poll, you know, many more people.
Stephanie would want us to keep going.
Yeah.
She would want us to learn through what she experienced, to remember what she taught us. She was involved in lots of different documents that have been written. She was part of a Parents Guide to Child Welfare, for example, which was a national document that was used to help families navigate that system. She was part of many conversations, many documents that had to do with children's mental health, lots of speeches. She would not want us, just because she's not here, to stop.
Yeah.
She would want us to keep going. She would want us to move on. She would want us to remember her voice in our heads, reminding us of what we need to do to move forward and carry her legacy forward.
Yeah. But hopefully this gives our listeners a good enough taste of what it is that we're missing now and the legacy that she leaves behind. So Vicky, Tammy, and Luann, I am so glad that you could take time out of your busy schedules to share your thoughts with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I will say that I think today the foundation is sizzling, absolutely sizzling with sensitive topics. I think there are still hard conversations to have, but we are having discussions about racial biases, about gender discrimination, political issues. We even talk about our own perceived power and privilege as members of the philanthropic sector. We are having discussions about power and privilege within our own organization. And we will continue to have courageous conversations, I think, to help us learn our way to solutions together.
We hope that you enjoyed this conversation. As I said in the intro, there's a lot of ground to cover when it comes to Steph's impact on mental health in Texas. And that does it for this episode. We're glad you could join us. If you have comments or anything that you would like to share about the podcast, feel free to reach out to us at into the fold at austin.utexas.edu. Into the fold is all one word. Thoughtful comments will be acknowledged during a future episode. Music by Anna Harris. Production assistance by Julia Sufrin and Veronica Rodriguez. Just as taking care of ourselves enhances our ability to help others, so it is as well that, by helping others, we enhance our own resilience. Please leave us a review, subscribe to us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, or TuneIn. Thanks for joining us.